Welcome to the Lancet Respiratory Medicine podcast. I'm Sophie Wolven, Senior Editor at the Lancet Respiratory Medicine, and today I'm joined by Professor Richard Costello from Beaumont Hospital in Ireland. We'll be discussing Richard's latest publication, the INCASUN trial, which investigates the use of digital measurements of medication adherence and lung function. Richard, thanks very much for joining me. How would you define difficult to treat asthma in relation to treatment adherence and treatment burden? And how is treatment currently managed in these patients to try and achieve disease control?
Difficult to treat asthma is a term that's widely used. It's a sort of an umbrella term that covers the idea that people have asthma that's uncontrolled because they didn't take their treatment or they didn't take their treatment correctly due to poor inhaler technique. Or that their symptoms sounded like asthma, but were due to coexisting conditions that gave symptoms that mimicked asthma. It's widely talked about, but in fact, there's relatively little research done on what the impact of misidentifying difficult to treat asthma may have. And that's a really important topic because of two things. The first is, if you don't identify that the patient has something simple like poor adherence, poor inhaler technique, or a coexisting condition, then you're going to end up thinking that they have severe, or as they used to call it, refractory asthma, and add in extra doses of treatment or add on a biologic. But equally, it means that you can't fix the underlying problem. And that may reflect, for example, issues that drive poor adherence related to comprehension, health literacy, or indeed financial limitation. So understanding difficult to treat asthma is really important. What's also important for everybody to recognize is that along with the idea that it's difficult to treat, it's actually really quite difficult to detect. And that's a big problem. And that's been the focus of our research group for the last number of years, working on techniques to try and understand, to identify difficult to treat asthma.
What is the motivation behind the move towards a more digital form of treatment management?
There's been a real push towards getting more digital tools into the management of common respiratory diseases. It stands to reason that if you don't detect difficult to treat asthma, you're going to escalate the treatment. That's got a cost. It's got a cost for the patient because if you're increasing inhaled corticosteroid doses and the patient is taking some or all of them, then you're liable to get the side effects of those. We're increasingly recognizing the real hidden hazard of intermittent pulse doses of oral steroids. And of course, there's the bottleneck in terms of getting access to biologics on patients. Rightly, government and funding agencies have said, we're not going to be in a position to give biologics to everybody who fits the criteria for one of these drugs based on the criteria used in clinical trials. You need to find a way to distinguish your difficult to treat asthma patients from your severe asthma patients. And that's good. That's common sense. We should be using objective tools to do this. And digital has many opportunities within it. It's time-stamped, so you can identify when they happen. You can use that data in large data analyses where you're taking time-stamped data on lung function, time-stamped data on measures of inflammation, treatment use, proficiency of inhaler use, and putting that into a much more objective way of assessing the true relationships between treatment use and outcomes.
What were the main findings of the INCASUN study, and what are the limitations to consider when interpreting these results?
What we did in the INCASUN study was to use a device that we developed. It's a small audio-based device that sits on top of an inhaler. Each time the inhaler is opened, it makes an audio recording. That audio recording, by signal processing, can be broken down into whether the inhaler was taken correctly or incorrectly. It can also tell us when the inhaler was used, so we can get a true picture of treatment use over time. We also used digital peak flow so we could assess if asthma was active or inactive over time. We used a digital platform because clinical decision-making can at times be empiric. And that means that across centers in a multicenter study, you may get differences in prescribing decisions. So we used three different digital products to try and work our way through several cycles of Gina-suggested asthma management strategy where you assess, adjust, and review. And we did this in 200 patients. Roughly 100 in each group were assigned to traditional methods where we use largely patient-reported outcomes, and the other group who had a digital assessment. And the main findings were that the treatment burden in the patients who were ascribed to the digital process were significantly lower than those who went through the traditional pathway. The net result was that we had a 60% reduction in the escalation to biologic therapy in the active group. And we had roughly a twofold reduction in the use of, in the reduction in high dose to low dose inhaled corticosteroids in the digitally managed group. Now, the limitations of this study were that the relative number of people who impacted were about a third in each group. So regardless of how we managed them, two-thirds of the patients more or less ended up on similar results. But the cost implications of the reduction in escalation of biologics and the reduction to high-dose inhaled steroids meant that the cost savings by direct cost was 3,000 euro per person enrolled in the active group relative to the traditional care model.
How do you envisage these results affecting practice? Do you anticipate any challenges with a move towards a more digital approach in these patients?
It's really impossible to tell how this will affect practice. I hope that people do realize that assessing adherence is more than just simply trying to find out whether the person has or hasn't taken their inhaler. I think it's about a logical approach to a really difficult situation, which is that we're financially threatened by the costs of biologic treatment, and we have a major missed opportunity of understanding the drivers of adherence. But there are many challenges towards a more digital approach. There's a mindset, and it is harder than you think to try and get at that process of, like, how do I communicate the challenge of identifying poor adherence? How do I change people's attitudes towards their perception that they're taking their inhaler correctly? How do I broach the subject that the person who perceives that they have active asthma, in fact, doesn't have active asthma, their lung function is rock steady, but that their breathlessness and cough is due to reflux and shortness of breath from obesity and deconditioning? These are the sort of challenges that are involved. However, I think agencies who are tasked with trying to manage the numbers of people who are potentially suitable for biologics may help in nudging clinical teams to consider using this biological approach, this more objective digital approach.
And what does the future hold for assessing treatment burden and adherence in uncontrolled asthma and beyond?
Digital approaches are widely used in respiratory medicine. All you have to do is look at how effective these devices have been in the management of patients with sleep apnea. I think that there's going to be a greater number of people who are using digital technologies to assess their patients right from the beginning as they go through the whole journey of diagnosis, training in self-management, assessment following exacerbations, and of course in their approach to whether they should be escalated to a biologic therapy. And so I think that this is going to be an era where we, in a very practical sense, take over from the self-report into the more objective tool, respiratory physicians have always been noted for their strong belief in measurement. The prior generation of respiratory physicians were strong believers in physiology, which is essentially measurement. And the digital era gives us a great opportunity to bring this back into our front and center work. So I'm quite optimistic that this will become a much more standardized approach to how we deal with patients with asthma as opposed to the more empiric methods that we've used for the last decade or so.
Thanks, Richard. It was really interesting to hear more about the study. If you would like to read about the INCA Sun trial discussed today, you can find it online via thelancet.com, where you can also listen to this podcast and our previous episodes.